Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Lake Effect is launching a new series called Pandemic Performers, where we're highlighting some of the work coming from Milwaukee artists and musicians at a time when many of us are still isolated. For Jordan Davis, the frontman of Milwaukee band Space Raft, this time has been an opportunity to finish up a project he's been working on for 2.5 years. The band just released 2 albums, one called Positively Space Raft and its alter ego, Approximately Space Raft, which features chiptunes, the kind of music you'd hear in a video game, which, naturally, led Davis to design his own video game. But not just any video game. A retro Nintendo game, complete with 8-bit caricatures of the band and their trusty van. Davis joins me to talk about the process of creating this game. Jordan Davis, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Absolutely, Joy. Thanks for having me.
So how did this idea begin in the first place?
I guess I would call it a joke first and foremost. I think at the outset of the idea, I just kind of thought it would be a funny thing to reproduce some of the music of the band in what's called chiptune, which is the type of audio that you would get from older hardware technology from the 70s and 80s. Anything from like an alarm clock to a beeper to a telephone to an old game console would have these sound chips inside of them, and making music for them is kind of a subset of music called chiptune. And it's a very limiting, stripped down type of computer music, I guess. And I thought producing music just for the band to hear would be kind of a funny thing that I could do. And I started producing these chiptunes, you know, just to share with the group, and everybody got a good laugh out of them. So I just kind of continued doing it. And then here we are.
Yeah, how do you go from that to actually building a video game?
Slowly. I mean, one step at a time. To be honest, I have no background in any sort of computer science or programming or anything. The idea for the project was the motivation for me to learn how to do just about everything to make this game happen. So really, once I had finished the soundtrack, I was like, how do I present this to people? Once I finished the album, Positively Space Raft, and once I had just transcribed it into chiptune, I had fun listening to it. My friends had fun listening to it, but I had no idea how I could present that to the public. You know, maybe make a cute little video that I could, you know, share with people. That would be one idea. Or I could, you know, release it on a cassette tape or something that would be low impact. But I guess the more I thought about it, the more I kind of just convinced myself that I should make some sort of game that people can experience while hearing this stuff. And one thing led to another. I found a few podcasts about, new software for the Nintendo Entertainment System, which is called NES Homebrew. That's like the scene that's connected to it. And I just started researching and, you know, started practicing drawing pixel art and started researching game design and how level design and all of the different aspects that go into, you know, making a fully playable game. And then I just started chipping away at it. And slowly but surely, you know, I was able to come out of the other end with a fully formed video game that, you know, is playable on an NES cartridge.
Yeah, so here's a short clip of what we're talking about when we're talking about these chiptunes. So these songs correspond with an album you guys actually released. Was the idea to release the video game alongside the album?
The idea developed alongside of the post-production of the album. So as we were finishing it, as we were mixing it and mastering the album, which took a very long time because we were very picky on this one, as I was working on that, it just kind of, you know, formed as a thing in my head that I could do on my spare time. And then, not that I had intended for the timing to work out where the game was released, you know, and coinciding with the album, but the longer that I worked on it, the more it seemed like that should be the case. Because if I was going to take a career retrospective of Space Raft, it would be a bit more daunting to develop that much music or pick which ones work the best. So therefore, I just kind of decided to narrow my scope to the recent album. And that actually made it a lot easier for me to kind of focus on what I wanted to do.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit about the aesthetic of the game, because I think in some ways it will look very familiar to people who are familiar with Nintendo, but also it's very unique to your group.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have never done anything like this before. I'm not really known as a visual artist. I've done a few posters, you know, concert posters for my bands or friends' bands over the years, but I'm not really somebody who's doing a lot of visual art for my music projects. So from there, just learning how to do pixel art in the first place, you know, especially with like 8-bit pixel art, is very limiting. The color palettes that you have to work with are very limiting. You have to kind of learn all of the limitations before you can start making anything for it. So in that case, what I had to do was do a lot of research and a lot of studying other games, games that I thought were pretty when I was, you know, a kid, games that I thought were pretty now looking at them as an adult, you know, trying to narrow down exactly what the kind of visual style that I wanted to use. And to be very honest, like my first baby steps into making pixel art were just copying images from things like Legend of Zelda and Donkey Kong, like that kind of approach, just so I could understand how these kind of classic figures were built and then learn how to deconstruct them and build my own, I guess. That was my strategy, I guess.
How would you describe the game for people who haven't seen it? And of course, we're talking on the radio, so people will have to go online to see it. But what does it look like?
Well, so it's a grab bag of gameplay styles. The game kind of starts out driving in our van, which is basically a nondescript white van, which is, you know, what we've been traveling in for the last, I don't know, 5 years or so. And it's an obstacle-based scrolling game. So if you could imagine side-scrolling games like Gradius or Excitebike or anything that's kind of zipping along with a little vehicle, that would be how I would probably describe the beginning of the game. It was probably most inspired by a game called TNC Surf Design, which was a little game about skateboarding across a bridge. It was very basic, but it kind of presented the proper template that I was looking for to depict the van on the streets of Milwaukee, I guess. And then the second phase is more kind of like it's a top-down three-quarter perspective, probably close to what would be seen in something like Bomberman or The Legend of Zelda, which I guess would be the closest visual cues. And that is mainly like a kind of arcade style gameplay where you're just, you know, looking to collect all the objects and pass the single screen rounds.
Okay. And the four characters, they're the people in your band, right?
Yep, absolutely. TJ, John, Tyler, and then myself, Jordan.
What is the objective?
Well, the objective is to thwart our ex-base player, Serini. The premise of the game is that he came back to town to steal the master tapes of the new record, which we have to chase him down and collect them before we can put our new record out. And that was actually a premise that was suggested by, you know, our good friend, Serini. You know, I was telling him one day that I was feeling a little bit lost. I've got all of these assets put together to make this game, but I really don't know what the objective is, what I'm doing. And he basically just stopped me and said, look, here's the premise. I'll be the villain. Just just blame it all on me. And then that will be kind of us off and running. And that's exactly what I did. So, you know, our old bass player, Serini, is the villain of the game. He's basically just trying to thwart our progress without him. because he's jealous.
So it all takes place here. What are some of the references that people here in Milwaukee might know?
Well, the visual references, I mean, my first goals that I set out to do when learning how to do pixel art was just to kind of draw things that I was already familiar with, stuff that I always thought that was iconic to the location where the game takes place. So one of the first things that I did was to draw the Cactus Club here in Milwaukee, because that was one of our favorite venues to play. And as well, like, most of Spacecraft had worked at the Cactus Club at different periods. TJ and Tyler had been bartenders there. John and I had worked the door for many years. So it's a place that's near and dear to us. So just drawing the front steps, and I think most Milwaukee music fans would understand the significance of walking up those front steps into Cactus Club. So that was one of the very first things that I drew for the game. That, as well as some other record stores that we're fans of, like Rushmore Records, Acme Records. We've got other venues like High Dive. One of our favorite taverns in Bayview, Bernhardt's, is in the game as well. And it's got other locations across the state of Wisconsin as well. I'm originally from Green Bay, so I couldn't help putting in some of my hometown stuff there. You know, Jake's Pizza, which is my favorite pizza in the world. And, you know, some of my favorite people from the music scene are depicted as well. I think a lot of the personality of the game just comes from its setting here in Milwaukee and then in Wisconsin at large.
Yeah. So what's the plan for distribution? How are people going to engage with the game?
So right now I've actually got the game on Kickstarter. And basically that is just so that I can fund the physical production of the cartridges. There are a bunch of different ways that I'm offering the game. There are digital versions, which is basically just, you know, the ROM file that you can download and play in a emulator or, you know, any other computer program that can basically emulate the NES. And then I'm offering physical cartridges that you can play on your old, you know, NES hardware. Just, you know, hook it up to your TV. And, you know, because I'm mainly experienced with physical record production, cassette, you know, music, you know, physical music materials, and doing independent runs of records, cassettes, 7 inches, et cetera, you know, I thought that I could apply that towards cartridge production as well, which is kind of similar, but to buy all of the materials needed to make a game like this is a lot more expensive for me personally than it is to put out a record. So yeah, basically at the Kickstarter campaign, you can pre-order the cartridge, and then once I have all the parts in hand and are able to assemble my production run, I will ship it to your door.
Alrighty, so for all those people who still have a Nintendo, they can engage with the game that way.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, well, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
It's my pleasure, Joy.
Jordan Davis is the lead singer and guitarist for Spacecraft. He's also the creator of the Spacecraft NES game, which features music from their new album, Approximately Spacecraft, the chiptune version of their other new album, Positively Spacecraft. You can see a video of the game and some of the artwork at wuwm.com.